Let's turn in our Bibles today to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of the fear factor. Anybody ever been scared of anything? I know you have. I used to be scared of what I'm doing right now. Some of you may still be scared of that. But have you ever been fearful? The fear factor caused you to react to that fear? I have been scared a number of times, and I'll just give you a personal example here. When I was younger, and a little bit younger, and I was in the place that my daddy farmed, and I carried a bow and arrow with me, I went to this place where I knew that some rattlesnake hunters had come and got rattlesnakes out of there for every now and then. And it was the spring of the year, and it was time when snakes move. And so I thought I'll just go up there and just check that out. And I went up there, and lo and behold, there's a rattlesnake just come right out. And so I know that here between me and that snake, you know, it was nobody else with me. And it's either me or him. And I thought, you know, here's a possibility, something that could take my life before, you know, I was a good half a mile from truck, you know. And so anyway, I pinned him to the ground with an arrow. And so, don't get wrong, it wasn't a great shot. It was about from here to the floor. That's about how close it was. But, you know, the fear was there, you know, that if I didn't do something, you know, this thing could take my life. It could, possibly. Probably wouldn't have, but it could have. But you see, there's things that we fear, things that happen suddenly many times that cause us to fear. And the story we're about to read here was, we find that fear came upon a king named Jehoshaphat, and fear of what would happen to him, but also there was a godly fear in this king as well, a godly respect and reverence for the holy God, and a faith that God could take care of it, whatever it was. So let's notice the scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. Now it happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you and beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared, set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together, asked help from the Lord, and all the cities of Judah came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord and before the new court. Let's notice in verse 6, he begins a prayer here to God. Verse 6, and said, "Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms and the nations? And your hand, is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Now here we are, the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir," which would be the Edomites, "whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy from them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you gave to us to inherit." Verse 12, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what we should do or what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord." Verse 14, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen all of you, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, for they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord and worshipped the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with voices loud and high. Amen. They rose early in the morning, went out to the wilderness of Tekoa, and they went. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army. And they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Let's stop there. Father, thank you, God, for your word today. And I pray, Lord, you open our hearts, our lives, and our understanding to the truth of Scripture today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. The fear factor. And we've just read the story together, and you see why that there were the fear factor was here within the children of Judah. And so here, one of the few, but Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was a God-fearing king of Judah. And so he depended on the Lord. Everything that he did wasn't always right, but he feared the Lord. And some of the things good about him are found in chapter 17 of the same book. Chapter 17, verse 4, but he sought the Lord God of his fathers, walked his commandments, and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. And Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor and abundance, and his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Amen. He even sent people out, verse 7, to teach in the cities, teach the law of God. And so there were good things about Jehoshaphat. He was a good king compared to many of the others that would just serve God if it was convenient, as some people do today. But he was one of the good kings. The only problem was he made a mistake, and he let his son marry the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Let me tell you something. You wouldn't want Jezebel for a mother-in-law. And you wouldn't want Ahab for a father-in-law, because they were very wicked kings, and they weren't kings of Judah, they were kings of Israel. But he would successfully fight and win battles, Jehoshaphat would. He would direct Judah to the fear of the Lord. And there's many good things stated about him. Now this king faced the impossible battle here, a war that seemed that there could be no victory in. The people of Moab and Ammon, they had come together, they had become a nation. And if you go back in a little bit of history there of them, you know that Ammon and Moab were two men who were the illegitimate sons of Lot's daughters. And the nations were built out of these two men, so they were known as the nation of Moab and Edom and Ammon. And the Edomites, they were descendants of Esau. And so Esau and Jacob were brothers, but Jacob's the one that followed God. Esau didn't follow God. Man. And so here these people were coming against them, and there was a great multitude coming against them. And so Jehoshaphat said, you know, we need God's help here. At least he was willing to recognize that. He couldn't do it by himself. He had to have God. And so let's look, first of all, at the fear of things not yet seen or experienced. And so Jehoshaphat would love the Lord, and he'd experienced the Lord, no doubt had experienced some types of victories with the Lord, but now it would really take God for this one. It would not be what Jehoshaphat could do. It would not be what his armies could do. It would not be what any human could be. It would take God for this battle. Amen. And he would say, as modern day, he would say, this is a God thing. You got to have God for this. Man, as we said, you and I know that. There's things that we run across in life we have to have God for. But Jehoshaphat had not yet faced such impossible odds. He was a God-fearing man, but now he would have to put his full faith in God. It had to be more than talk. It had to be action here, because that's what real faith is. Faith without works is dead. He would not have to put his trust, couldn't put his trust in his best soldiers, his most valiant men, and his best weaponry, but God alone. Without God, there could be no victory against such a great multitude. And let's bring this down to modern day. In our country that we live in, we have a way of living in freedom. And we're blessed people, whether we realize it or not today. We should realize it. We don't really know a lot of things here in the USA. What other countries have faced. And every time you hear of something bad going to go on in our country and everybody, well, the rapture is about to take place. Well, not necessarily. There's other countries that have been through awful things that they thought the rapture was about to take place too. And just because we're facing hard times does not mean that Jesus is going to come today. I believe he may come today. We need to live like he's coming today, but he may not. So we may face things, and what other countries have faced, and today we have, well, we don't know, so much freedom that we have. We have peace. We have freedom of speech. We have freedom to do what we're doing right now, to gather and worship, and there's some countries in the world that we'd all go to jail for meeting together just to worship God. And so we have freedom of speech, we have freedom of faith, we have freedom to bear arms. That means to carry weapons, not to shave your arms. Was that necessary? Amen, okay. Freedom to work and make a living, and to choose what we want to do and how we want to go. We're in a free country, and we're blessed beyond measure. But that freedom is being threatened by socialism, no desire to work, and rebellion against God-ordained authority. There's rebellion against God-ordained authority. Did you know that rebelling against father and mother is rebelling against God? That's one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the earth. And you say, well, if your parent doesn't serve God and ask you to do things that are evil and ungodly, should you obey? No, but you should honor them as your father and mother. Amen. And so there's great rebellion in our land today. And there is something that's very unscriptural that's wanting to take place in socialism. It's nobody works and you just steal from the rich and give to the poor. And after a while, the rich run out of money and there's nothing else to give to the poor. And so you go into bankruptcy, and that's the end of socialism. And that's what's happened, trying to take over in our nation today. Amen. But there is no other answer but divine help for our country and our nation. Just as Jehoshaphat, there was no other help except divine help. But you know, this country needs you and I to pray. He needs intercessors. And you and I can pray, and we can seek the face of God, and we can ask for God for help. And I believe God made a promise not just to Israel, but I believe to us today. He said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Let's just be people that are on fire for God and praying and seeking the face of God and pray for our country and pray that God will again be number one in the United States of America. Praise the Lord. And so God, you say, what can I do? You can pray. Praise the Lord. And that's not the last alternative. That's the first thing we should do. God can see ahead in the believer's life. He can see and does warn of things ahead. But he's promised to lead us. The Holy Spirit is our leader, our teacher, our guide into all spiritual truth. In John 16:13, you'll find that he's a leader and a teacher and a guide into spiritual truth. Praise God. And you see, we're on a road here in the state that we've never traveled before. Man. And so, and that road that we've never traveled is the COVID-19 road. And that's not a marker or a number designating a certain highway, but it's a disease. And so you've been down things, places that you've never traveled before. I remember one place I went to one time, and my dad were out driving around, and there was a cemetery on the side, and said, "Let's look at that cemetery for a minute." It was not anything great to look for. There's nothing alive there. But we looked on it, and there was one grave where there was a post next to the gravestone, and it had a telephone hooked to it. Nobody called while I was there, but just found out the guy used to work for a telephone company, and so I guess apparently he wanted that by his grave. And so that was a road I'd never traveled before. But there's something that we've never walked through before here when we fear God, this thing could take over us, a disease or a sickness. And years ago, I guess I'm using too many illustrations, but I've got time, so anyway, here we go. And does anybody here knows where, in the state of Texas, does anybody know where Fort McKavett is? You do. Yeah, Fort McKavett is not close to anywhere. It was established, and well, it's closer to El Dorado than it is anywhere. It's about 40 miles from El Dorado or so. But it was established back in the 1800s to protect settlers from Apache Indians. And so that is what it was there for. And I used to go there once in a while and just to look around. And there were gravestones there. I don't know when they started engraving rock and putting people's names on gravestones there, but there were some there that looked pretty ancient. And they had years or the date put on them, and some of them were in the late 1800s and some in the 1700s. And I noticed there were a great number of those graves that were all, they were kids, 5, 6, 7 years old graves. And so apparently there was some disease or infection that came through and killed a lot of children. That's sad. And so those people that lived in that time as a road that they'd never traveled before, surely they had to call on God for help. But you see, we must have God's help to live in the hour that we live in. Every generation has to have God's help. Amen. And the good news is God is not absent today. God is present. God is always present. He's always faithful. Wherever you are, whatever storm of life you may be in, I can tell you that God is there. When Jesus, his disciples went away one time and they went out on the ship and Jesus was left on the land to pray to God, and in the middle of the sea that the disciples came upon a storm in the sea, and it looked like their ship was going to sink, and Jesus came walking on their greatest problem, the waves, the wind, and the water. And he only had to speak one word. He said, "Peace, be still," and the waves were calm. And immediately they were at the land. Because you see, all authority belongs to Jesus, to God, heaven and earth. So he came walking on their greatest fear. Well, let me just tell you something today. It tells us this, that whatever is big to us is not big to God. Whatever is a problem to us is not a problem to God. Whatever we're afraid of, God isn't afraid of. Amen. Whatever fears come along, it's not bigger than the God that we serve. It's not bigger than the Jesus that lives in your heart and the Holy Spirit that guides you. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and almighty, and all-present. So we've got to learn to trust Him and live for Him. Amen. And so sometimes fear takes us to places we've never been before. Second of all, we see here in this scripture that fear is an experience that will not be pleasant. I've never heard anybody say, "I'm just so happy, I'm so scared." Okay? And the correct reaction of God-fearing people and a God-fearing leader is this. And so when Jehoshaphat saw the impossibilities before him, he didn't say, let's just hear from everybody and see what we can do on this. Verse 3 says, he feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He got the whole countryside involved. Amen. And so they were really serious about God if they were going together and fast and pray that God would give them victory over the Ammonites and the Moabites and whatever other bites were there. And so that's what he did. The fear of an experience that will not be pleasant, and so he had to have God. In verse 4, he gathered all together all to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Amen. They didn't come to seek. They didn't come to see who was running for president. They didn't come to see who was the best politician. They didn't come to see who was the best athlete. They didn't see who was playing this weekend or that weekend. And so they came to seek the Lord. They came for the purpose, God, we've got to have your help. And so that's why they came. And so this was the king's reaction. He was leading the people this way. Reaction to God, a God-fearing people, a God-fearing leader. And he went to God in prayer. Verses 5 through 12 give us his prayer there. And he recognizes, verse 6, that God rules all over all kingdoms of the world and all powers in his hand. Verse 7, and he says, God, you're our God. He was not into idolatry. Jehoshaphat wasn't. He was into the one true God. And he said, you've promised, Lord, if we cry out in our affliction, you will hear and save us. Verse 9, the last part. In verse 10, as if God didn't already know it, he says, and now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. That would be the Edomites. Whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. And here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession and you have given us to inherit. And as if God didn't know all this already, Jehoshaphat talks to God and prays this way. He said, Lord, we know that you've given this land to us personally, and we know that it's your land, but now there's great armies coming against us, and sir, God, we have got to have you. And so surely this experience was not pleasant. They were fearful. They were surrounded by huge armies, powerful armies, but they went to God in prayer. They didn't go to the behavioral sciences to figure things out. They didn't go to the independents, Republicans or Democrats. They didn't go to Balaam's donkey, that's what some of them are, for help. I didn't call any names, but I'm tempted to. Okay. But Jehoshaphat realized that God alone was his answer. He went to God. He led the whole nation to God to seek his way, to seek his instruction, to seek his guidance. My friend, that's what each of us need to do personally. We need to go before God and say, God, I cannot face this alone. I need your help. Would you help? I want to tell you, the Bible says, call upon me and I will answer you, show you great and mighty things which you know not. God has not left you alone to be fearful and scared of what might happen or could happen. God is with you. He's promised, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. And so he's a powerful God. He will not leave you alone. Hallelujah. So this is what we must learn to do personally. Go before God as they did. Let me ask you, has God ever failed you? Have you survived threatening things without God before? No, you've needed God. Was God ever too small, too weak when you sincerely prayed or put your trust in him? No, he's never been too weak. I know that. At the end of his prayer, Jehoshaphat chose to look to God for his victory. Verse 12, he says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Amen. God knows what he's doing. Let's trust him. Amen. And so God knows what we're feeling. But our eyes are upon God. God, you're the only answer. In 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Amen. God sees everything that's happening to you. You say, well, doesn't God get mixed up with 6 billion, 7 billion people on the earth? No, God has not ever been mixed up. He's always known what to do. And he's always cared and loved and responded to the prayers of his people. And we can trust him. Our eyes upon you, Lord. He said, we can't do anything against this great multitude, but we're looking to you, Lord. You're our God. You're our Lord. You're our strength. You're the one that's given us this land. And so, Lord, we're looking to you. And my question for today is, what or who are we looking to today? Will fear rule our mind, our will, our emotions, or will we look to God? Or will we fasten our eyes upon Christ? Amen. In the book of Hebrews it says, "Wherefore, my brethren, being since we are surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, he said, let us look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's set our eyes upon Christ. Like Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured since contradiction of sinners." There's nobody that's endured more than what our Savior Jesus endured. And his Father walked him through and helped him every step of the way up Calvary's hill into the cross and the heartache and the suffering and the pain physically and spiritually, mentally and emotionally that he went through. And he's been through everything. There's not a thing that you have experienced in life that Jesus didn't take the punishment of and the feeling of and the emotion of at the cross. He knows everything. And so let's fasten our eyes upon Jesus. He's never failed. Amen. He cannot fail. He will not fail. But fear, many times it is an experience that will not be pleasant. We don't like to see things coming, but yet we know that God is there. Ephesians 1 and 17, Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. He prayed that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is exceeding greatness of his power to us, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Okay? So the fear of an experience that will not be pleasant. And what we have today is not pleasant. Business are shutting down. Schools are shutting down. Colleges are shutting down. Man, churches are shutting down. I don't intend to. And I don't think God's church is going to shut down. And God's not shutting down. God's not up there saying it's too bad, I'm just going to quit dealing with people right now. No. God is present, powerful. He's never quits. Let's notice last of all here, the effects of fear. Let's look at the bad effects of fear first, because we want to get on the good part at the end, okay? The bad effects of fear. It causes you to forget God's faithfulness in the past. Fear can do that to you. Fear can cause you to search for some other answer other than God. And fear can cause you to drown in hopelessness, despair, and depression. And that's what's happening to many, many people in society today. They just see no way out. But my friend, we serve a powerful and a mighty God. And he doesn't just provide a way out, he is the way out. He's the way in. He's the way up. Praise God. And so the effects of fear there. Let's notice some good effects of fear. We find here that a good effect was they had a word from God. Verse 14, the Spirit of God came upon Jehaziel. And anyway, he was a son of several names there. Amen. And he began to prophesy under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God came upon him. Verse 15, listen, all of you inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judah, Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord, do not be feared nor be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. You see, they couldn't see into the spiritual realm. They couldn't see the armies of heaven surrounding them. All they could see was the powerful armies that were there to destroy them and completely annihilate them. And my friend, if you look on the negative side of things and all you can see is this thing's going to kill me, or this is going to take us and this is going to tear society down, this is going to tear down our way of living, we can do that, we can go that way if we want to, or we can say, no, God is not too big for the God that I serve. Praise the Lord. And this battle that we're facing today is not ours, but it's God's. And when you're a believer and you're walking in the faith, I can tell you nothing too big for God is going to happen. God is more powerful. He's the same same yesterday, today, and forever. Jehoshaphat's God is still our God today, the one true God, mighty and powerful forever. He will walk you through. You will be victorious. You will overcome. Man. So he had a word from God. That's the good effects of fearing the Lord. God speaks. He may speak through his word. He may speak through circumstances. He may speak through people. He may speak through a still small voice. And I know that God does speak through people. Yes, he does. But just a warning there. Beware of somebody that always has a "God told me to tell you." I'm a child of God and dwelt by the Holy Spirit. God can speak to me as easy as he can speak to you. That might be a good answer. But yet God does use people to speak. And so don't turn it all away. Just measure it by the word of God to see if it's God or not. Man, praise the Lord. And sometimes through a still small voice, God just makes you know inside what he wants you to do. He may sometimes just say, "Trust me." Man. Sister Norma can testify to this. When I had my accident, I was laying almost close to dead in a hospital. God spoke to her and said, "Trust me." She did. God can be trusted. Praise the Lord. The effects of fear, the bad effects, cause you to trust God. No, the good effects is trust God instead of self. You begin to see that God is greater, more powerful, all threats, greater than your fears. The Holy Spirit in you gives you assurance that everything is going to turn out the way it should. Remember, I'll use this one illustration here. My brother Dennis, that's his name, and he's 10 years older than me. I know he didn't need for me to say that, but he is. But he was in the Vietnam War. Kept a New Testament in his pocket all the time. And kept Psalms 91, a New Testament and Psalms. It wasn't just a New Testament, it had to have Psalms in it. Because you got to have Psalms 91 if you're a soldier. And so I looked at his New Testament one day. He kept it in his pocket all the time. And Psalms 91 had clear tape on it. So when it got wet, it would get wet. They were in the jungle. He was in the infantry. They went out and set up ambushes. That's what they did. But the day that Dennis was to leave the field, the field, and to go back to the place where that soldiers come when they get through fighting there in Vietnam still. But he's about to leave. He and his men were walking through the jungle one day, and the North Vietnamese would set traps, tripwires that would cause an explosion and kill whoever was there. And so my brother was walking, and one of his soldiers grabbed him by the collar and pulled him back to the ground. My brother was a sergeant. He said, "What are you doing?" He pointed to the tripwire. The day my brother would have leave, he would have tripped on that wire and would have caused an explosion that would have killed him. And surely he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, the Lord is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So God spared him, and God used him, or used that to save him from certain death. You see, the effects of fear sometimes cause you to commit yourself, your future, to him who knows the future, who sees the beginning and the end of all things. That's the good effects of godly fear. Causes you to trust God instead of self. We need God's help today. With the many threats against God-ordained authority, against the law enforcement, against our faith, threats of government leadership, or godless government leadership, in the end, faith will prevail. You notice how many times in Scripture, I don't know exactly, I'm sure somebody's counted them, how many times it says, "Fear not," in the Bible. Numerous times God has told people, "Fear not, I'm in charge." Amen. You hear me quoted often? You will hear me quoted often. Revelation 1:18, Jesus told John the Revelator, "Fear not, for I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death." God was saying, "Don't worry about it, John, I'm in charge.
I have the keys of hell and of death. I know everything that happens. Praise God. I can tell you, friend, that whatever may happen, tragedy happens, yes, to good people, yes, to Christian people, but the moment that person passes away, a door in heaven is never locked for a child of God to come through, and you're with Christ and God forever. Eternal dwelling, you will be where you will always be and with Christ. My friend, fear not. The fear factor is reality. Yes, it is, but it's not too big for our God. We serve a God who's not afraid of anything, and He can help you not to be scared or afraid of what might happen or could happen, but to have you to trust that He's got everything in control, everything in charge. Praise the Lord. Amen.